As we move into the 28th chapter of 1 Samuel, we see the Philistines making preparations for that war, which will actually result in an end to the life of Saul. And by so doing, this will also make way for David to acquire the throne. So in verse 1, "And it came to pass in those days that the Philistines gathered their armies together for warfare to fight with Israel." Now the Philistines are getting ready for a big battle. They gather their armies together. They're really going to fight Israel. Now there are two things to their advantage here. First of all, they have David living with them, so they can assume that David's not going to be fighting against them. And no doubt they would not have been so bold to have made this invasion upon Israel had David been their enemy. At least they had been made to believe that he was not their enemy at this time. "And Achish said unto David, Know thou assuredly that thou shalt go with me to battle, thou and thy men." So Achish actually approaches David on this matter. And he feels David out. "Aren't you certain? Do you not know assuredly that you're going to go to battle with me, you and your men? Can I count on you? Are you going to be there to help?" And David said to Achish, "Surely thou shalt know what thy servant can do." So we see that David gives a very ambiguous answer, but it is a misleading answer. He makes Achish think that he is going to be with him, that he is going to assist him. And we see that David would have quite a dilemma here. Would he fight with the Philistines against his own people? Would he be drawn into an alliance with the enemies of God's people and assist them in defeating the nation of Israel? Or must he tell Achish right now that he is not going to be with him, that he is not going to help him, that he's really going to assist Israel? And rather than give a hard and fast yes and no answer, he simply ambiguously answers the king and says, "Surely thou shalt know what thy servant can do." And we're going to see later on that David is spared the pain of having to make a decision in this regard, because he's going to be sent to another area of the country while the battle is going on. "And Achish said to David, Therefore will I make thee keeper of mine head forever. Because you're going to be faithful and help me, then I'm going to repay you. I'm going to make you keeper of mine head forever." This would be captain of the guards. It might even be his prime minister. It's going to be some high post that he would give to David for assisting him in this battle with Saul. Now, beginning in verse 3, we have some earlier history repeated so as to make the story more complete. "Now, Samuel was dead, and all Israel had lamented him and buried him in Ramah, even in his own city." So we see that Samuel was no longer available. He would have been an assistance to Saul had Saul wanted to turn to him. He would have been some comfort and solace and a source of power for Saul. But Samuel was no longer around. He now had died. And of course, David is not there. Saul has, by his actions, forced David to leave the country. So two of his greatest sources of strength are no longer with Saul. And verse 3 further says, "And Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land." Now this was probably an earlier decree of Saul. He'd gotten rid of those that were practicing witchcraft and sorcery, those that had the familiar spirits and the wizards. They'd been put out of the land. Some think that this is a later decree, one that Saul has just now passed. But it's probably an earlier decree, and it also is probably associated with the fact that Saul had been so plagued with this ill spirit that the Lord had sent upon him that he had probably felt that the presence of these wizards and those that had familiar spirits was only aggravating his condition. And we're going to see where Saul consults the witch of Endor so that he has to appeal to someone for help, someone whose presence has even been outlawed from being in the land. Verse 4, "And the Philistines gathered themselves together and came and pitched in Shunem, and Saul gathered all Israel together, and they pitched in Gilboa." Now this place of Shunem is close to Mount Moriah. It's located in the tribe of Issachar, and it's in the northern mid portion of the land of Israel. So this was a very deep inroad of Israel. It's on the border of the valley of Jezreel. It's a very desirable area of the land of Israel. The Philistines are quite a ways from home now as they make this inroad, but they have well established themselves in this area of Shunem. But Saul gathered all Israel together, and they pitched in Gilboa, that is one of the mountains of the area of Mount Gilboa, and this is just to the south of the armies of the Philistines. And when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart greatly trembled. When Saul, by his intelligence, realized the host of the Philistines, how many there were, what kind of battle gear they had, what kind of heart they had for fighting, he saw that he was outnumbered, that he was outclassed. He was afraid, and his heart greatly trembled. He had so let Israel be left unguarded in his pursuit against David. He had so let the defenses of Israel run down until now the Philistines were in the very heart of the land. And he really wasn't in the mood for this type of conflict, this type of battle. He wasn't prepared for it. And so he was afraid, and his heart greatly trembled. He saw that he was probably going to be defeated here. He could see no way that he could really be successful. And so he is in a state of utter desperation. His heart greatly trembled. He's afraid. He realizes what terrible odds that he has. He can no longer depend upon Samuel. Samuel is dead. He can no longer depend upon David. David has been run out of the land. David no longer even dwells in the land of Israel. And certainly, he can't appeal to David for any kind of help. And all of this is because of Saul's sin. Now he remembered the guilty blood of the Amalekites, which he had spared, and God didn't want him to spare. And he also can remember the innocent blood of the priest, those 85 priests, which he had spilt, which he should not have done. His sins were set in order before his eyes, which put him into confusion, embarrassed all his counsels, robbed him of all of his courage, and put him into such a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation. And we see that troubles are certainly terrors to the children of disobedience. So the stage is set for the great battle. The two armies, the Philistines and the Israelites, and we can see just from the gist of things that the Philistines are going to have the better of it. Saul just doesn't have what it takes to be able to withstand and to protect his people in this time of great distress. We're going to close at that point. Till next time, this is N.C. Crouch saying, goodbye, friends.